be seated, please. Good afternoon. We have four argued cases today. The first of these is number 16-2307, In Re Openings. Mr. Kaminsky, is that how you pronounce it?
That's correct, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honors. Daniel Kaminsky of Tabbitt DeVito Rothstein for Appellant Total Door. The trademark that Total Door seeks to register is a specific shape of a channel found on the edge of a door. That specific shape has no functionality. In reaching the opposite conclusion, the board committed three legal errors.
Would the shape that you're seeking to trademark come within the scope of the earlier patents?
So the shape, in terms of, yes.
In your advertising, you refer to it as patented, right?
That's correct. We refer to the doors as patented. It's important to understand that these patents aren't just for a channel; they're for an entire door mechanism. And in some of the in the early advertisements, they do refer to the patented the advantages of the patent. But in every trade dress case, there will be a distinction between the thing that is the subject of the trade dress and the design of the thing. The trademark application that we are seeking to register is a very specific shape.
The Supreme Court has told us that if it comes within the scope of a utility patent, that's strong evidence of functionality, right?
The Supreme Court in Traffics was referring to the specific elements of the design being in the utility patent. So in the Traffics case, you have a situation where you have an arrangement of springs on a sign. And the trademark application was for an arrangement of springs on a sign. In the trademark case, the court went out of its way, actually, to explain that if the specific feature of the design is not part of the patent, then the result would be very different. So,
but
for
you
example,
use the phrase U-shaped in the patent itself, do you not? Or at least one of the patents?
In the specification, in one of the patents, the term U-shaped appears. But it's important to understand that our trademark design is best described in a picture. And that's at the Appendix 251. It's actually throughout the appendix, but that's the best place for it.
In the trademark application, you describe the applied for mark as a U-shaped channel that runs the full length of the door. So we should consider full length of the door as well as just U-shaped channel, right?
That's correct. We have to describe the trade dress as it's actually used, and it does go the full length of the door. But that word description doesn't really capture the entire design.
But the design is not merely decorative, right? It's functional.
There's no indication in the record that this specific design is functional.
Well, I thought in the patents, as Judge O'Malley said, it described it as functional.
What the patent design describes as functional is a generic channel. If the court looks at the claims of the 845 patent, for example, the court will find that what is claimed is a channel with walls. It could be any design of the channel. And again, there's always going to be a level of abstraction where a trade dress will appear functional, but that's not this design of a channel.
Is the determination by the board, or ultimately by the examiner and then affirmed by the board, that in fact the design is disclosed in the patents, is that a determination of fact or a determination of law?
There is the application of factor one of the Morton-Norwich test, which relates to patents, is a question of law. There are no underlying factual determinations here that the board is making. The board is simply imputing advantages found from the plain language of the patent with respect to generic channels
No, I mean, the board did more than that. The board pointed out that while you call what was in the patent H-shaped, for instance, that it's essentially the carrying the same shape as your proposed design.
Well, there's a lot of back and forth in the record about H-shapes and U-shapes and I-shapes. The key is that our trademark application will look very different if we were seeking a trademark with respect to all shapes of a channel. In fact, we zeroed in on this specific shape that we use, and it's shown in the photos at Appendix 30 and 31 of our application. It's a very specific design. U-shaped, H-shaped, I-beams, all of these are word descriptions of a very specific three-dimensional product configuration.
Well, but it can't be that something is non-functional just because it has a specific shape, right?
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. Our view is that there is always...
Well, what about in Traffix itself? They said that, you know, that even though the particular product at issue had two springs and it was possible to have three springs, it didn't make any difference. It was still functional. So there was a situation similar to what you're saying doesn't raise trademark or trade dress issues.
There's a critical difference between our situation and what the court just described. What the court just described is an equivalent arrangement of springs. There you have a trademark for an arrangement of springs. You have a patent about the arrangement of springs. But the Traffix court went out of its way to explain that with respect to other elements of that spring design that are not described in the patent, that the result would be very different. This is on page 34 of Traffix. In a case where a manufacturer seeks to protect arbitrary, incidental, or ornamental aspects of features of a product found in the patent claim, such as arbitrary curves in the legs or an ornamental pattern painted on the springs, a different result might obtain. So red springs, for example, would be an example of a registrable trademark despite the existence of this patent. And that's contrary to the central argument that the board argued and the central argument that the director has in its briefs.
Yeah, but your problem is that the U-shaped channel performs a function, and that's part of why patents were issued on it.
All channels, if they're used in the invention described in the patent, perform a function.
Is it your position that the patent covered all channels?
It is our position that the patent covers all channels that are consistent with what the claims are claiming, which you know would be something that would be analyzed through an analysis appropriate for patent claims. But yes, it is the functionality here has to do with a channel generically. It doesn't have to do with this specific shape.
But if it had some arbitrary feature like the color red or something like that, that the color red would have nothing to do with infringement of the patent, whereas the U-shaped channel is directly involved in the scope of the patent.
We submit that the specific shape, the flat-floored, parallel-sided channel with a slight lip that is found in the picture is more than what the court is describing and what the patents describe as being functional. U-shape is really, in a sense, a misnomer because you can't capture all the features. And this, in fact, is conceded by the director in the briefing because the director doesn't use the term U-shaped. It uses this sort of three sides of a rectangle symbol. It's harder to say, but it captures slightly more of the shape that we're talking about here. If we were seeking a trademark on all channels, we would have a very different situation. But we're not. And our trademark application would look very different if we were seeking a trademark on all channels. But again, we're not.
But your own advertisements describe the functional benefits of this particular channel, correct?
When considered in light of the patent,
let me talk about this particular channel, the advertisements that you have relating to this channel on which you're seeking a trade dress protection. Don't those advertisements tout the functional benefits of the channel?
I would disagree with that statement because I believe that all of the advantages in the advertisements are advantages that are common to all channels, and we know that from the patents. And so we know, for example, that if one practices the invention with the channel, with any channel, then one achieves this sort of deadbolt-like strength to the doors. But that isn't related to this specific design.
So is it your position that any little tweak that you do to your patented design somehow makes it ornamental?
No, not any tweak. I think that what it comes down to is whether the specific design feature is identified in the patent as something that's functional. So, for example, in the Becton-Dickinson...
Well, your position really is if there are alternative ways of performing the function, that you can trademark one particular way of doing it, right?
In a sense, one of the things that the Morton-Norwich test asks us to look at is whether there are viable alternatives.
But is the answer yes to my question?
The answer is yes to your question. And the viability of alternatives is one of the factors. And another aspect of it is the cost and quality of those alternatives. So the answer is yes, but there's more. It's not simply the matter of alternatives. It's the fact that the evidence here, the unrebutted evidence throughout, is that these alternatives are interchangeable, both in terms of cost and quality. So with that situation, where you have multitude of alternatives, that's the situation where you have in the Morton-Norwich case itself, where you have many spray bottles that can do the same thing. Here we have many channels that can do
so
the same
thing.
So why
in Traffics couldn't you trademark or find a trade dress coverage for the two spring embodiment?
Because the two springs, all the trademark was in that circumstance were related to the arrangement of the springs. And so this was an equivalent arrangement of springs as was claimed in the patent, and therefore the Traffics case held that it was functional. If it were red springs, then the court would have, I submit, would have come to a completely different conclusion. If we were talking about a specific shape of spring, like a spring with a square cross-section or something like that, that again would be something that's different. And the reason it's different is that that color or that specific shape does not appear in the patent as something that is functional.
Is that U-shaped channel utilitarian?
The U-shape of the channel, and by that I mean
the... Is the U-shaped channel utilitarian?
To answer your question fully, I need to define U-shaped. And I define...
The patent mentions U-shaped channels.
The patent mentions U-shaped channels.
Is that U-shaped channel in the patent, is that utilitarian?
That U-shape is not utilitarian. And the reason why is because at the specific situation where...
So the channel in the patent is not utilitarian.
Channels are absolutely utilitarian, but when the only time U-shape appears, that term, which I understand the question to be directed to, that's in the specification of the 845 patent. Mm-hmm. And the specification of the 845 patent does not attribute any functionality to the particular design that is at issue there. And so we know...
Okay, so you have an H-shape, an E shape, a U shape, but all of those are within the patent are utilitarian, are they not?
All those are as treated as channels, they are utilitarian. Treated as the non-functional shape of that, it is that non-functional shape, whether it's an E or a sort of a bottom-shaped V or whatever else it is, that shape is not utilitarian. This is very similar to what happens in the Ethicon case. In the Ethicon case, you have a situation where it's in design patents, but functionality is the same analysis in both areas of the law. You have a specific device, and the court reversed on functionality because the lower court looked at it too high of a level of abstraction. That's what happened here. What also happens in Ethicon is the court affirmed on infringement because that same level of specificity, zeroing on the design, also narrowed the scope of the protection that was offered by that trademark, by that design patent there. Here, we're not asking for the protection of all channels. We're not trying to get all channels addressed. We're simply focusing on this specific channel.
Before you sit down, I need to confirm. You try to recapture it in your reply brief, but you don't mention anywhere in your blue brief the concept of acquired distinctiveness, do you?
So acquired distinctiveness is the second of two things that we need to prove to obtain a trademark, and it's a reason why we shouldn't have to remand this case. Acquired distinctiveness is something that we made a rock-solid case on in the court below.
Didn't mention it at all in your opening brief to us.
We are not arguing that acquired distinctiveness alone means that there's no functionality. We are arguing that we have a trademark here because it is both non-functional and has acquired distinctiveness.
But you're asking us to pass judgment on the acquired, assuming we agree with you on the other point, you would ask us to pass judgment on the acquired distinctiveness prong, and yet you never brief it.
So that argument wasn't addressed by the board. And so the board, by not addressing that point, implicitly concedes it. That's in the trademark manual.
The board said they didn't have to decide it because they found
designed to be functional. I don't see how you can read that as conceding it.
Fair enough. In the worst case scenario, we do have to remand. But it's important to understand that there is acquired distinctiveness here because we have a real trademark. This is the way that these doors are determined as a total door.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Casagrande.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I think what this boils down to is whether or not if they're seeking trademark protection for one particular shaped channel that goes the length of the door, does that mean that just because there are alternatives out there that could be different, slightly different shaped channels, they could get this one and everyone else could use the other shapes?
But the last point he made, which is an important one, which is that you're not supposed to look at these things at too abstract a level. I mean, if you have a utility patent on a particular type of hammer, the mere fact that you want a trademark on a different hammer doesn't mean you automatically can't get a trademark. So the question is, why is it that these two things are so connected, and why is it that this trademark design or trade design does not have something at least ornamental or different about it?
What they've claimed here is basically a stripped-down version that's exactly commensurate with what they claimed in the patent. For example, if you look at the 845 patent, you know, what they've got in this application is a rectangular strip running the length of the door, and then they show a cross-section of it where you can look within the channel, and it looks like a U, and they call it a U in their application. What they claim in the 845 patent, which is, there's basically several elements. One of the elements is an engaging element that extends substantially the entire height of the door. Okay, so that's that part of what they're claiming. The other part is the engaging element being channel-shaped in cross-section and including a pair of spaced longitudinal, substantially parallel projections. That's a long way of saying it looks like a U. And so there's nothing about the application here that differs. There's nothing ornamental on it. And we would certainly concede that if it perhaps were red and no one else was using red, or they had some sort of repeating design on the edge of it, that might be something ornamental that they could get a trademark registration for. But what they would have to do is submit a drawing where the locking
channel. But those features wouldn't affect the function of the door.
I'm sorry?
Those features, red color, wouldn't affect the function of the door.
Precisely. And that's why we would consider those to be non-functional, and we would consider whether or not they were actually, whether there was likely a confusion with someone else, or the other things that we look at when we look at trademark registrations.
Do you agree that the patents cover channels generally and that the shape is not important to the patent claims?
Yes, I think all of the three patents that we talked about. There's a fourth patent in the record that nobody talked about, the 607 patent. So I'll limit myself to the three that were talked about. They all have claims within them that would cover the particular thing that they are seeking trademark registration for here. There's nothing ornamental about what they're claiming.
I don't think you understood my question. Do you think that the claims just claim a locking channel generally, or do they claim a particular shape of a locking channel?
Well, the claim I just read to you from the 845 patent, to me, claims specifically a U shape. That's when you're talking about parallel projections extending away from the door. The only way you can do that is by replicating a U, because you're going to have it along the edge of the door, and that's going to be the base of the channel, and then the two parallel projections are running away from it, and that's a U.
Is it your position that the U and the H shape are identical?
Yes, and I think they would concede that as well, because they've called it an H shape in some of their materials, and they've called it an I-beam shape in some of their materials. But basically, they are all, if you look at what they've been selling, it's all the same thing. It just depends on whether you're looking at a cross-section and the parts that actually stick into the door to secure it there, or whether or not you're looking at it, you know, horizontally or vertically. It's either an I or an H. Or if you're just looking at the part that you see, it's a U. It's all the same thing.
Isn't it true that we have said that the availability of alternative designs is a factor that would at least cut against a conclusion of functionality?
Yes, you have said that, but that's been qualified by what the Supreme Court said in 2001 in Traffics. And so when you have a situation like we have here, where the patents claim the U-shape, and in the specifications they also talk about the benefits of the U-shape or the H-shape, and then you have advertisements talking about the shape of what they're using, when you have that kind of evidence, it's no answer to say, but people can use other shapes, because once you've shown through that evidence, patents and advertisements, that it is functional, saying that people can use something else functional does not erase the fact that it is functional. And so I'll give you a case where alternatives are very important, and that would be this case from the CCPA in Honeywell. That was a case where there were no patents. And there were no ads talking about the circular design for the thermostat cover. And so in that case, that's where you would logically go to determine if this thing is functional, to look at what alternatives are out there. And when the court saw that the only shapes people were using were round shapes, from that evidence alone, they determined, well, there must be some competitive need for that, and therefore that is functional. But where you have this other more direct evidence in ads and patents, you don't need to do that.
What should we be concerned about the fact that the board didn't address, or at least said it didn't need to address, the last two of the Morton Norwich factors?
No, it didn't need to address them.
What precedent do you have for that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What precedent do you have for their ability to ignore those factors?
Essentially, this case, this court in the value engineering case, it was talking about what the Supreme Court had held in Traffics. And it said very clearly that, and I'm quoting now, once a product feature is found functional based on other considerations, there is no need to consider the availability of alternative designs. And then this court later in Becton Dickinson essentially confirmed that concept.
Well, the fourth Morton Norwich factor.
Right, and that's whether or not there's a cost benefit
right.
to it. That one is something, there are two ways you can prove functionality. One is that the product works better because it's in that shape, and the other is because it's maybe cheaper to make or it's cheaper for people to buy.
Right.
And so if you've proved it's functional in a case like this because it works better, then the other thing just falls away. It doesn't matter if it costs more even to make because it works better. That's the way you prove functionality there. It's kind of an alternative way of proving it. And we would also say that even if you did look at that...
Or wouldn't it be an alternative way of disproving it? I mean, that's the problem, is that there are supposed to be four factors. And we have said that at least the last factor doesn't necessarily control if the other three strongly support a functionality determination. But the notion that where you've got an alternative way to look at it, that we shouldn't have to look at it, does seem a little odd.
Are you talking about the alternatives?
Yeah. No, the
cost benefit. Well, you know, the Yolkovsky Declaration does say that there's no manufacturing advantage. That's the specific wording that they use. That's in the only evidence on this point. But he doesn't deny what they say in their advertisements, which is that there are shipping benefits because you can ship it cheaper because it lies flat because there's no extending hardware from it. It's a very flat door. There are installation benefits. These are all cost benefits to both. It depends, I guess, on who's paying for the shipping, but the installation benefit would be a cost benefit to the buyer. So there's actually evidence in the record in their own advertisements that say that there are cost benefits to this thing. The other thing I would say is that even if there are cost benefits to it, and maybe there are some other ones that don't cost as much or maybe cost about the same, that doesn't matter because what they're saying in their advertisements is there are cost benefits to this one. And so it's kind of in the ballpark. And what Bose said, which is, and I'll quote from at 772 Fed Second at 873, is that even if other designs were more cost effective, and this is the quote part, that this design is within the category of a superior design in this respect. So it doesn't need to be, you know, the only one or the best one or that there's some other one that's better. As long as it's in the ballpark in terms of cost, then that means it has a cost benefit. If there are no further questions, I'll yield back my time to the court.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Casagrande.
Thank you.
Your Honor, just a couple points in final rebuttal. One of the questions that counsel for the director started to ask and answer but didn't complete, but I think it was very important, is what Total Door would have to do to obtain a trademark with respect to a more specific shape. I submit that there's nothing that Total Door could have done to obtain a trademark on a more specific shape. And I would direct the court to Appendix 348. There, the argument was made that, quote, the level of detail shown in the drawing of the mark was never questioned during prosecution. We're not seeking a trademark on all channels, and we've made that clear.
But if you got this trademark and if somebody went out and adopted some of the designs that were shown in the patent, they'd be infringing that trademark, right?
The answer with respect to the three that we've discussed
today
are no.
There are designs shown in the patents that would infringe the trademark that you're seeking.
The answer is no with respect to the A45 patent. The answer is no with respect to the other two patents that were discussed. There is one drawing that shows the trademark design, but there's no description of the functionality of that design.
But you said that the patents were broad enough to cover any shaped channel.
That's certainly true. And so those patents are now expired, and that's that. But if the answer is that when there is a patent on
the
feature,
problem is, of course, it looks as though the risk here is that by allowing trademark or something like that, you'd be extending the patent monopoly beyond the years that it was originally designed for.
Well, that's why we're looking at a very specific type of channel. And there's another risk, if I can just conclude. The other risk is that a patent becomes a death sentence for trade dress, and that American manufacturers have to decide, are they going to seek patent protection on something and use in their drawings the actual device that they are manufacturing so that they can explain the functionality of it? Or are they going to seek trade dress protection on the non-functional aspects like this shape of the trademark?
Did your client ever claim infringement on those patents?
I'm not aware that they did, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not aware of any circumstance.
And I
that
won't
occurs.
Ask you about the shapes.
Your Honor, in conclusion, Total Door, other manufacturers shouldn't have to make that choice between patents and trademarks. There's two different things here. There's a functional channel and there's a non-functional shape.
Okay, I think we're out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
both counsel. The case is submitted.